Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Expert to Authority show. My name is Simone Vincenzi, and I am your host. And this is the show for coaches, speakers, and trainers who want to grow their businesses while making an impact in the world. Today, we are talking about increasing your sales, in particular, a simple three-step method to increase qualified appointments and sales. So if you want to get more clients, this is the show for you. I'm going to introduce our guest in a moment. A couple of housekeeping. If you haven't subscribed to the show, make sure you subscribe and also check in the show notes because we got some gifts for you and also our webinar conversion kit, which will help you create a high converting webinar presentation in less than 3 hours and is only $30. So if you haven't checked it out, make sure you go in and check the show notes. Now, to introduce our guest, she's the creator of Salesology Prospecting Method, generates predictable sales revenue results. She has helped more than 775 businesses increase qualified appointments and sales faster, more easily, and more profitably. She's a former ballet dancer, and she believes that everything she knows in life and business, she learned in ballet classes. And we are going to talk about a simple three-step method to increase qualified appointments with Wendy Weiss. Wendy, welcome. Good to see you today.
Delighted to be here, Simone. Thank you for inviting me.
It's great to be here. And I know also for you have prepared something for all our listeners, which is your Salesology Vault. Before we go into the interview, what can people expect from the Salesology Vault?
Wow, great question. Thank you for asking it. The Salesology Vault is packed with actionable information that you can use to grow sales. And I also have a podcast called Salesology Conversations with Sales Leaders. And every week I interview different marketing guru, sales expert, revenue generation expert, and that includes Simone Vincenzi. And every week, one of my guests, whoever I'm interviewing, they have a gift for our listeners. So what we did is we took all of the gifts and we put them together in the Salesology Vault, and it is all free. So I believe, Simone, you're putting the link in the show notes.
The link is in the show notes. So make sure you check it out. And if you find value from this interview, then go into the show notes and then check the Salesology Vault, and you can have free access to all this incredible training. Now, Wendy, ballet and sales, what do they have in common?
They're both a skill. That's the bottom line. They're both a skill. You know, I am on a mission, Simone, to stomp out the myth of the born salesperson. There's this myth that somehow there are these people out there, they're just born knowing what to do and born knowing what to say. And that's a myth. It's not true. And I'm not a born salesperson. I'm a really lucky person because so many years ago, I was dancing in a ballet company and that contract finished and I needed a day job. And I got a job with a telemarketing agency that taught me this particular skill set. It was transformational because many years later, it enabled me to build a business, learning this skill. And just like it takes many, many years to train a ballet dancer. You don't just wake up one day and say, I'm going to dance in a ballet company. You have to go to ballet class. Learning to sell, learning to prospect, learning to sell, it's a skill. It can be learned, and it will not take you years and years and years to do it. As a matter of fact, you can learn to become very effective, efficient, proficient at prospecting and selling in a matter of months.
While it takes a bit longer in ballet.
it takes eight to 10 years. Yeah. But it will not take you that long to learn to prospect and sell.
I'm curious from your perspective, what does it really take to succeed when prospecting? Because, you know, sales have, there are different spectrum in the sales process. You're looking at finding and prospecting and finding the right people, then you need to engage with them, then you need to close them. So what have you found in the prospecting phase to be really useful and to really work?
Well, the most important thing about prospecting is to take action and actually do it. And let me differentiate between prospecting and marketing, because I know sometimes people get this confused. And marketing is communication one too many. Maybe you're writing a blog post. Yeah. Maybe you're doing some social media. You're doing email marketing. So you, one person, you are communicating with many, many people. Prospecting is really one-to-one communication that either you reach out directly to somebody, a prospect you'd like to have a conversation with, or even maybe they reach out to you, but you still have to have that. It's one-to-one communication. And taking action is step number one.
Hmm. What have you found to be like a strategy? Because of course, different companies and different people, they will have different business strategies, and prospecting will change depending on the product that you sell, the service that you sell. Is there something like a go-to strategy for you that you say, okay, this is always my starting point, or the starting point that I recommend more often, in particular for those people that are a bit stuck, or maybe they're just looking for new ideas?
Well, our go-to strategy, I'm actually also known as the queen of cold calling. And our go-to strategy is pick up the telephone and introduce yourself, or introduce yourself through email or through a text, or introduce yourself on social media. I know that sometimes people get very scared of the phrase cold calling.
It conjures
up really scary things. Think of it as introductory calling. You're introducing yourself to somebody because you've done your homework. You think there might be a good fit between a problem they have that you can fix. You introduce yourself. That's what it is. It's introductory calling.
It's really interesting. Why do you think people are so afraid of either cold calling or cold messaging?
That is the question, isn't it? You know, and the thing is, there are the facts, and then there's the story you should tell yourself about the facts. You know, and the facts are, if you're a coach or a consultant, you're a business owner, and you want more clients, you one way of getting them is to introduce yourself to likely prospects. And so maybe you pick up the phone and you call them. And if you get them on the phone, you say something and they say something. Those are the facts. The story is, I'm bothering them. I'm interrupting them. They're not going to want to talk to me. They're going to hang up on me. They already have somebody, and on and on and on. So let's come up with a new story. And this also relates back to what I was just saying about it's important to take action. I'll share with all of our listeners, I've been doing this for 25 years. No one has ever died. Swear to God, nobody has ever died. And what's so interesting today, because this idea of picking up the phone and talking to people that you don't know, because it has been so demonized, I can pretty much guarantee you, your competitors are not doing it. You want to stand out? You want to stand out? Pick up the phone, call a prospect, introduce yourself. You will be the only person, you know, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, if you were making calls, a prospect would say, oh, do you know how many coaches called me today? How many salespeople called me today? Nobody will say that to you because you'll be the only one.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I know. I think it has been I don't know if there has been a shift in society or it has always been the case, but even people have become incredibly sensitive, or maybe they were already very sensitive of not being interrupted or the cold approach. You know, I can give an example of LinkedIn. I think there is this narrative of demonizing people that are sending you a prospecting message, and some people are calling names out. And I'm like, but don't you run a business yourself as well? So at the end of the day, everyone is here because they want to make their business work. And, you know, if you don't like the cold message, they don't respond. Like, you have the chance of not respond. Have you found the same to be true, that people are overly sensitive to this now and things have changed compared to before, or it just happened 20 years ago as well?
I think that is true. People have become more sensitive. But the thing that I think is really important to remember is, before you pick up the phone or send that email or send that text or reach out on LinkedIn, you really do need to have done your homework.
Right.
And if you craft a message, if you really know your market and you craft a message that is specific to that market, and it's that message is not about what you do. The message is about how your clients are better off after you do the things you do. Mm. What's the problem you're solving? And in your message, talk about that. And if you do that well, prospects respond. They will talk to you on the phone. They will return phone calls. If you leave a voicemail, they'll respond to your email. They'll respond to your text. They'll respond on LinkedIn. But I think the problem is, a lot of people don't do their homework. They just send out stupid stuff.
That's what gets people annoying. That's what really gets people annoyed, is that message. Then you're saying, huh? I mean, for example, I receive every now and then services for webinars, and I'm like, if you just looked at something, this is not what we do.
Exactly.
So don't think I'm gonna buy from you, but thank you very much. Mm-hmm. that's what I think grates people off. But I agree with you. If the message is specific and you've done your homework and you say, hey, this is the result that we get with our clients, you up for a call? Would you like more information? Then that can open up the conversation, and which is what we want in a prospecting stage, is literally, how can we open up the conversation?
Exactly. Because I think also sometimes people don't understand the process of prospecting. You're looking, you are not reaching out and saying, hey, will you give me your credit card right now?
Right.
You're simply saying, I'd like to have a conversation with you. I'd like to introduce myself. I'd like to have a conversation with you. And if you think about it in that manner, it's a whole lot easier. If you think about, I have to get their credit card now, that's very hard and it won't work.
But I love the way you reframe it as, this is an introductory call. Just send an introductory message or that introductory email or that introductory call. And that's how people can see it. I know that you have developed a methodology to increase sales, which is a three-step method. Can you walk us through the three-step method? What are these three steps and why they're important?
So happy to do that. When you introduced me, Simone, you read my bio and said what I believe to be true, that everything I know in life and business, I learned in ballet class. My first career was, I danced with Pittsburgh Ballet Theater, and then I danced with the Cincinnati Ballet. As you may know, ballet is one of the most difficult and exacting art forms. And this is what I learned in ballet class. If you're a dancer, you don't just run out on stage and start dancing. You have to warm up. You have to stretch out and get set up to do what you need to do so you don't have a career-ending injury. Elite athletes do the same thing. They don't just run out on the field and start playing the game. They warm up because they don't want to have a career-ending injury. Yep. There are things that you need to have in place for yourself. If eventually you want to hire salespeople, you need for salespeople, things that you need to have in place so that you don't hurt yourself and you don't hurt your bottom line. Step one, warm up. Mm-hmm. Step two, if you're a ballet dancer and you have a concert coming up, again, you do not just run out on stage and start dancing. You've been rehearsing for months. And if you're a ballet dancer, You take a ballet class every single day, 5 or 6 days a week. And in a ballet class, there's a certain set order. You do the same steps in the same order every day. And what you're doing when you do the same steps in the same order, or you are rehearsing the choreography for your concert, is you're creating muscle memory. You're creating a habit so that you don't have to think about it. You can just do it. So step two, after you've done your warm-up, step two is rehearse. There's no such thing as a born salesperson. You need to learn the skill and you need to practice the skill. That's what successful people do.
Yeah.
Step three.
Before we go to step three. Yeah. Before we go to step three, I loved the second point, because that's what I did for years. I was very lucky that my business partner, before becoming business partner, we were very close friends. And because we both started our individual businesses before becoming business partners together at 23, 24, we needed to learn how to sell. In particular, you already had a background in sales, actually. So it was mainly me. My background was in the catering industry, in restaurants. So I had some sales skills, but they were different. I could sell a bottle of wine or a steak or a pizza, but but not a consulting product or a coaching service. Very, very different. Or going to a school. That was my first business, delivering programs into schools. And his background was in the sales recruitment. So I remember that every week we would have a few hours together. And what we were doing, we spend hours doing role play selling. I would role play what I was going to pitch. He would give me objections. It would like challenge me or give me feedback on how to improve. And it was gold, because we spent probably like a year, year and a half doing that every single week. By the end of the year, year and a half, I went from not learning how to sell anything in this space to becoming very confident. And as you said, muscle memory kicks in. So yes. I started feeling that the more I was practicing, I felt less nervous, because I knew what to say. I knew what scenario could come up. I had some answers already. And that really helped me also calm my nerve. While at the beginning, I was very nervous. So it's not only if I know what to say, but also it helps you lessen that, you know, that gut feeling that you have, or that anxiety that sometimes can come up on sales calls, just because you've not done enough. You don't have enough practice around it. So that's what I wanted to add.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of this is very predictable. The same scenarios come up over and over and over again. And so once you know that and you've identified the scenarios, you can practice. And that gives you room, so that when you're speaking with that prospect and the scenario that you knew was going to come up eventually does come up, you don't flip out. You're calm. You listen to what they have to say. You respond.
100%. Okay, let's go to step three now.
Step three, we've been talking about it a little bit. Step three is perform. And lots of times people, as you said, Simone, people get really nervous. But to me, that's like stage fright, you know, and I have been there. You know, you're waiting in the wings, you're waiting for your cue, and your heart's pounding and you feel like you're going to throw up. And then you hear your music and you get out on stage and you dance.
There you go.
You know, and what enables that is you've warmed up. So you're prepared. You've rehearsed, you have muscle memory, and you go do it. So that's what enables execution. And what I've seen in all the years I've been doing this is that for most people, once they have a simple system set up, you know, they're warmed up, so they're prepared, and they've rehearsed, so they have that muscle memory, a lot of the nerves go away. And then once you start having some success, everything changes.
What changes?
Well, it becomes more accustomed. The first time I was going to perform on stage, I'd just been hired. I'd done some performing as a young dancer, but this is my first contract. I thought I was going to die. Right before my music came up, I thought I was just going to die. I was so scared. And now I actually still perform sometimes, and I don't perform a lot, so I do get kind of nervous. But once I'm out there on stage, I'm warmed up, I've rehearsed, I know what I'm doing, I'm okay. And that's exactly how it works in sales.
Is that confidence? Is that, okay, you know what, even if I'm feeling the nerves, let's go in and let's just do it anyway. I have a question, please go ahead.
I'm gonna share a dance story with you and all of our audience. I do still from time to time perform. And last year I was invited to perform at a showcase at Bridge for Dance, which has a choreographer's showcase on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, where I live in Manhattan. And so I had a solo that was choreographed for me by Ginger Thatcher. The music was the Annie Lennox rendition of God Bless the Child. Mm-hmm. And I was so nervous because I don't perform a lot anymore. And I was so nervous. And the floor was a little bit slippery. And I was terrified that I was going to slip and fall. And so I wet my shoes, which gives you a little bit more traction. Mm-hmm. But the problem was I was so scared that I kept wetting my shoes. And by the time I went out there to dance, my feet were sopping wet. And I ran out on stage and I tripped myself. Oh. But here's the thing. I kept going. And when I finished, I was so upset. I was so upset. And I went to the choreographer and I apologized. She's like, no problem. Nobody saw it. And I went around to all my friends that had come to see me dance. And I went, did you see me trip? Did you see me trip? Nobody saw me trip. And they videoed it. And I sent the video out to a bunch of friends. And I said, but I tripped. They would email me back and say, I watched it 5 times. I didn't see you trip. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. In my head, it was so big.
Yeah.
But I had the muscle memory. Even though I tripped, I just kept going, which is, of course, what you need to do on stage and actually what you kind of need to do in life and in sales. And so the point that I want to make is that sometimes, you know, you feel like somebody says something to you or something happens and it's such a big deal in your head. But it's not really, because nobody saw me trip.
Yeah, this is such a powerful story, in particular in sales, where, you know, it is conversation. So there might be things that you forget to do, maybe during the sales call or before or after. You make a comment and now you lose the sale because of the comment that you make. You forget to follow up. Now, there are so many things that could happen. And at the same time, that muscle memory and that rehearsing, that's really what's going to make the difference. So you can, you know, get back up. Gonna dust yourself off and keep going, which is what sale, as you mentioned, life is about, and also in particular sales. I'm curious about the warm up, because there is a lot of content and a lot of strategies. What to do on a sales call, how to follow up, but not many people talk about the warm up. In sales terms, if you help someone and you teach them how to sell, what kind of exercises or practical things would you give them to warm up and get ready for the sales call?
Well, that's a great question, Simone. The first and actually the most important question that you need to ask yourself is, what does an ideal prospect look like? And in my experience, far too many business owners, coaches, consultants don't actually know exactly who they're targeting. And you want to be, right from the beginning, you want to be very, very targeted, because whether you're doing outbound, you're picking up the phone and introducing yourself, or you have a great marketing system and you have some inbound leads, you don't want to waste your time speaking with prospects that are just completely inappropriate and you can't help them. So we always start with a very clear definition, and we start with the objective parameters, not subjective, objective, the facts. So if you're in B2B, How big is the company in revenue or employees? What's the title of the decision maker? Are they in a particular industry, et cetera, et cetera? If you're in B2C, well, how old are they? Are they married? Are they single? Do they have children? Where do they live? And so you start with that very concrete definition, which just makes it, you know, you're not going to waste your time. Makes it easier to find them. You can tell immediately this one is a fit, this one's not. Makes it easier to create the message that's going to really resonate for prospecting. Then you have to do an analysis of what are the problems, the challenges that they have that you can help them with, and how do they talk about it? Not how do you talk about it, how do they talk about it?
That's such an important part.
Yeah,
that's an important part. I see sometimes that I think in the coaching and speaking industry is a fascinating industry, and there was a I think it is not as trendy anymore, but there was a period of time where everyone would come up with these incredibly clever tag names, or I help people rediscover their innate self, like something that was not practical at all. And in particular, is not what someone would describe their problem to be. And I think that there is we think that we need to be very clever and find all the words ourselves. And we need to find the messaging ourselves. And we need to find this. And the more clever we are, the more we are going to cut through the noise. Actually, no, I believe the opposite. The more creative we can be on this, actually, the more we add to the noise, and actually we don't go anywhere. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, one of the things we do in our coaching programs is we have clients interview some of their clients. And this is harder than it sounds, because what I'm looking for, I want them there. And there's a series of questions we want them to ask, but we want them to record the interview and then use the exact language that their client is using. And that's actually very hard for most people to do. They'll tell me, well, you know, the client said something like this. And I say, no. What did they actually say? Because we want to use their language. What we're going for is, oh, this guy Simone really gets me. He understands where I am. He understands what's going on. Not, oh, some salesperson called me. Yeah. That's not what we want. And if you can capture that language that your clients, I mean, you're working with them, they think you're solving a problem. You know, talk to them about the before and after and how they feel about it. Not what you did. How do they feel about it? Because that's the important part.
This is so powerful. So for everyone listening, you know, if you have not interviewed some of your clients or ideal clients, do that. Because that's how you're going to get the right information. You can understand their language and focus on how they feel about that problem and how they talk about the problem, how they communicate about that problem. It will give you literally 90% of the answers that you need for your offers, for your marketing material, for the things that also you're going to use in the future. I have one more question before we wrap up, Wendy, which is around questionings. You know, questions are the most important sales tool that every salesperson has. And, you know, different sales training will give you different questions to ask during the sales calls. And I'm curious, do you have like a go-to question or a question that for you in your training, in the way in what you teach, is like, you cannot do a sales call but if you don't ask these questions? Like, this is the one question that everyone needs to ask, and this is my favorite absolute. Which one is for you?
This is my favorite absolute question. On the first appointment that I have with a prospect, however they came to schedule that first appointment, some of them come from cold calls. Some of them reach out through social media. They've come in through various marketing campaigns, funnels, etc. I will say to them, if it was a cold call, what was it about the conversation that you had with Tim, that my business development person, the conversation you had with Tim that made you decide that it made sense for us to talk? If they came in through some marketing funnel, what's going on with you that made you reach out and decide we should talk? Because I want to know why they want to talk to me.
Context.
Yeah.
Understanding the context. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I love that. I love this question. It reminds me that sometimes I forget to ask it, actually. So thank you for the reminder. This is so important. Everyone listening, beginning of the conversation, get the context right. What made them jump on that call? What made them book that conversation? I'll give a bonus one, which is one of my favorites. Now we're having this conversation, which is more like in the discovery phase at the beginning. But I will ask if there is one thing that I can do for you that will get you to say, yes, I'm in, I'm happy to pay for your service, what would it be? And I love that question because it implies that they're going to pay me to get that result. And also pinpoints what is the most urgent thing for them. Like if there is just one thing that you say, Simone, can you help me just this and I'm happy to pay you for it, what would it be? And I find I get a lot of very straightforward answers and priorities, which will help them then identify what offer or service is going to be better for them later on. So that's one that I really like.
That's a good question.
I like it. So let's wrap up now. We have talked a lot about, you know, the crossovers between ballet and sales. How you developed your methodology, coming actually from your ballet background. We talked about prospecting, what works. We talked about how people feel about cold calling and cold messages and why they should be used. Questions to ask. I mean, we covered quite a lot in this half an hour. I'm really happy. I want to remind everyone before we wrap up with a final message. I want to remind everyone that if you go now in the show notes, you can access the Salesology Vault for free. So the link is in the show notes. Or if you are watching on YouTube, you can click on the description as well, where you can find more than 50 training resources from sales and lead generation experts that Wendy has been collecting for you. So great, great resources to access. Make sure you get it. You can just click in the show notes and register there. Wendy, if people want to reach out to you in other ways, is there a particular social media platform that you focus on the most, where you're the most active?
Absolutely. You can, first of all, our website is gosalesology.com. You can reach me through the website. Reach out to me on LinkedIn. And I also invite you to listen to my podcast, Salesology Conversations with Sales Leaders. And you can do that wherever you get your podcasts. Coming up with a interview with Simone Vincenzi really soon. And
That's it. So make sure you get you follow her on social media, get on the podcast. We will also publish, I'll add the link as well, the podcast interview as soon as I have it here in the show notes. So if you're listening later on, you can go back and as well listen to the interview that I've done on Wendy's podcast. To wrap up, Wendy, if there is one message that represents a bit like your philosophy around sales, what is that message? What is your philosophy? How do you see sales?
Anna Pavlova, the great Russian ballerina Anna Pavlova, said very famously, "No one arrives from talent alone. Work transforms talent into genius." If you want to be a genius at sales and growing your business, it's not as much work as being a ballet dancer. However, it is a skill. And the really good news is it can be learned just like any other skill. You know, I am lucky. I am not a born salesperson. I was a lucky lucky person because I got a day job all those years ago. They taught me this skill. Transformational. So the really good news is you can take action. You can learn this skill. You can grow your business. And the sky's the limit.
Thank you very much, Wendy. It has been an incredible interview. I love also the wrap-up message. And for everyone that says, you know, I'm not a born salesperson, remember that no one is a born salesperson. It's a skill. You can learn it and you can get better at it and then make your business work or increase the clients that you get in your business. So make sure you follow Wendy, subscribe on her podcast, and also get the Salesology Vault. All the links are in the show notes. Thank you, Wendy. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you, Simone.
All right, everyone. Again, if you haven't subscribed to the show, make sure you subscribe or subscribe to our YouTube channel if you're watching this on YouTube. And also leave us a 5-star review. This is good for the guest. It's good for the show. It's good for my ego. It's good for everyone. So thank you for the reviews. They are really the lifeblood of the show. So I really appreciate you taking the time doing that. Until next time, always remember that together we grow exponentially. Ciao. Thank you for listening to Explode Your Expert Business Show. If you enjoyed the interview, please subscribe to the show and leave us a review. Every week we will select a winner from the reviews that we get. So it might be you. Make sure you give us a review. It means the world to us, and that's how you can help us grow the show. Also remember to download the Expert Business Checklist to get the roadmap on how to become an authority in your field. The link is in the show notes, or you can visit gtex.events/expert-checklist. So it's gtex.events/expert-checklist. And as well, finally, if you want to receive daily support in your coaching and speaking business or explore how we can work together, join our private Facebook group, Explode Your Expert Biz. Again, you can find it on Facebook at Explode Your Expert Biz, or the link is in the show notes. Thank you very much for listening, and until next time, remember that together we grow exponentially.